GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Aidan O'Shea was in studio earlier on this afternoon. He's helping to launch Heinz Sports Club, which is a nice initiative that is designed to support young people in their pursuit of sport, offering free clothing and equipment to sports clubs and schools around the country. So in short, you can collect Heinz Beans tokens on select packs for a choice of sports kit for your local club or your school. And if you want to do that, you can check out heinz.ie/teams, T-E-A-M-Z, for more information. So Aidan O'Shea, in studio earlier on, I said to him, seemed like a nice initiative, a no-brainer for someone like him to get involved with.
Yeah, absolutely. There's four of us involved, Stephanie Roach, Keith Earls, and Rena Buckley. And the Heinz campaign, you know, it's fairly simple. You know, get out and buy, collect your tokens, and you're getting, you know, you're going to get some gear. So it's a win-win.
Yeah. Because maybe we underestimate just how much the local club is still struggling for basics like gear.
Yeah, it's amazing. Clubs, you know, you forget about what kind of the basics that are required for to run a club and the cost involved for basic gear, cones, balls, etc. And they're just a necessity for everything.
Because you play for Brafe, obviously, and back in a county final for the first time in a couple of years, so congratulations on that. That's a small parish. That's a 1,500 people kind of parish, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we're situated just outside Castlebar, so yeah. We're kind of one of those funny ones where the parish actually incorporates the town as well, so okay. You can technically play. But there's kind of like that unwritten boundary there as well that people don't kind of jump across. But it would be a small little village that kind of has, during the good times, maybe got bigger as Castlebar got bigger. So yeah. The population has increased, yeah.
And are you more of a Brafe man than a townie hopping over to play for Brafe?
No. I'm dead smack in the middle of the village, really. Okay. But just moved. Funny enough, moved into Castlebar and became a townie, so, but certainly won't be changing jerseys.
No transfer happening.
No, there'll be no Donny Vaughan's being done.
So back in a county final, the majority of players are just from the village? Are there a few?
There's a couple of kind of townlands, kind of okay. Brafe, Derrywash, Eru and Ballyhane.
Okay.
So, and then you'd have a couple that are kind of just edging in towards the town.
Yeah.
But we're all, it's all kind of, there's a divide there, right?
Right. And so everyone knows everyone. You've probably grown up with a good chunk of these lads.
Yeah, I would have. I think I was only talking about this recently. It's a little bit different for the last 10 years when you've been away. Like, when I say away, we've been playing with Mayo, and that's been kind of running for 9-10 months of the year.
Yeah.
And you get a couple of weeks with your club, whereas, and a lot of the players I would have played with have kind of moved on or not playing, and there's a younger trench, and you kind of struggle to build relationships with these guys if you're not there all the time.
Of course.
And that's normal, but the opportunity of getting knocked out early, it's been kind of really refreshing getting to kind of just train with these guys, interact with these guys, socialise with these guys, and it can only be good for us as a group. And I've really enjoyed it. You know, it's been different, but I've really enjoyed it.
We had Andy Moran on recently. He said exactly the same thing. Yeah. It was a really nice change to go back and hang out with his mates and the people he knew. And Jack McCaffrey said recently he feels a bit guilty about just how little he puts back into the club.
It's not a deliberate thing. It's like for me, I'd always try and be down there as much as you can. But unless you're training on the pitch or knocking the heads of each other or enjoying the crack, it's not the same. And we experience that with Mayo because we do everything together, but you lose that because things have got so serious at that level. You don't get to go back as much as you'd like.
Well, really, Mayo is your club team. They're the lads that you know intimately.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why this has been, unfortunately it's been at the expense of Mayo, but in terms of Brafe, you've really enjoyed the last 10-12 weeks with the lads.
Yeah. Did you play full forward predominantly against Balladreen in the semi-final?
Played full forward for the majority, and then second half they had a little bit of a purple patch, came out around the middle and kind of seen the game out. But we've been moving me around a little bit the last couple of games just to keep things guessing, and it's been working so far.
Yeah, you tend to get moved around. That has been your lot.
Yeah, there's a kind of an idea out there that I do it myself, but there is usually a strategy to it, or I've been asked to do something. It's not something I just take on myself. But.
Oh, really? So a team doesn't spend weeks planning and then you just go out and do what you want, no?
No.
That's surprising to hear.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's what everybody thinks I do, but obviously... for Brafey, obviously Peter Ford and Shane Conway are experienced guys, and just depends on what where the positions are strong, I suppose, really, and what we might need from me.
Do you have a favourite position?
I like playing number 11, but some people might think that's my best position. But this game, the game now is like, you know.
Well, it's true. What is number 11?
Yeah, anymore? What is the position? Like, I mean, even playing a full forward, like, teams are just going to run from there now, and you've got to go back. So you're going to end up, you could end up at wing back or somewhere where you're just going to have to play from there. But positions are a little bit nothing yet at the moment.
You said in some ways, and people will appreciate the nuance, in some ways it was a bit different, maybe a bit nice in some ways to exit the championship early, obviously not what you would have planned for. So what else have you done with your summer that you wouldn't ordinarily have got to do for the last, basically, decade?
Yeah, it's been, the first couple of weeks was just really weird. Like, you're so regimented and disciplined into what you do, work, train, recover, gym, whatever. When you get take yourself out of that environment and take away from the lads, it's very strange kind of feeling. And I found it hard to adjust. Even in work, because I found that when I was in championship or in championship mode or training, I'm more productive at work, and I know what I need to do. I need to get it done in a certain period of time. I need to be out of work so I can get to training, and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, you don't have that pressure of. And I found that hard.
There is that principle, isn't there, that however much time you give someone to do a task, that's basically how much time they'll take.
Exactly. And I did definitely struggle for the first couple of weeks, and probably obviously with the disappointment along with the lack of that, that was hard. But absolutely, I think there's been things that, you know, I got to the Irish Open golf, got to the British Open, went on a holiday in the middle of the summer, and the club thing, obviously, you know, there's been all that, and even having the little one over and being able to stay on a night where I'd be usually training and wouldn't be home till 10:30 or 11, just things that, you know, wouldn't be the norm when you're training hard and prepping for championship football, and just being around a bit, I suppose, being at home with family and stuff like that. You know, usually we're obviously living in Mayo, and if you're latter stage of the championship is usually up the country, you're gone every weekend, and if you're not gone to a match, you know, we've probably workshops on or doing something like that, so it's been refreshing.
Yeah, a bit of free time to do not that much.
It's more the choice. It's more having the choice of being able to do things and no, I won't go there, I will go there, or I will eat that or I won't eat that. You know, it's the choice that you've had has been much better.
What's your biggest memory from Newbridge and that strange week?
Well, I'll always remember the dress rooms in Newbridge because it's the smallest things I've ever seen, but no, like, look, it was a funny week. I think I always kind of expected the kind of swell of support to be on in Newbridge, that it would end up like that.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, they were quite within their rights to stand firm on it. But it was a massive atmosphere. I mean, there was probably more Mayo people there than there was Kildare, because ultimately, with having more of a supporter base, we were entitled to more tickets through the systems that are in place. But yeah, like, I think it's a nice field, like, it's a nice pitch.
But it's tight, though.
It is tight.
Must be a different game if you're playing in Newbridge as opposed to Croke Park, even in terms of tactically what you might do.
Yeah, it is. And I suppose, like, for them, they hadn't won in Croke Park in a period of time. Mm. And I suppose when they got that kind of siege mentality of playing at home, tight pitch, you know, probably suited them a little bit. They're a big physical side. We'd lost Shamie and Tom to injuries, and, you know, physically they had an edge over us in for majority of the game, and kind of wore us down the stretch. But, like, I look back on it and I see, like, you know, we had a kick out with about 2 minutes to go. I think we were a point down. We didn't see the ball again, I think, until like 4 or 5 minutes. It kind of reminded me of the final last year where we had a kick out and we were a point down and we didn't see the ball for the rest of the game as well. So it could, you know, we could have pulled it out of the fire, but ultimately I don't think we had, we just weren't in a place to probably go into Super 8s and be successful this year.
Yeah. Why not? Tiredness?
No, I think if you look at the squad and you look at the front line of midfield was gone, they wouldn't have been back this year.
Yeah.
Leroy had a double hip surgery with a shoulder injury on top of that, shoulder surgery injury as well. That's 3 operations in the space of 6 months.
Yeah.
Brendan Harrison had 2 operations and All-Star cornerback. You know, you're just not going to replace that in such a quick space of time. And I think that ultimately we were kind of struggling against that all year.
Yeah. I mean, it's inevitable because the team has been going so long and so hard for so long. So maybe a bit of R&R and a summer for everyone to relax and come back hungry in January with a new manager, obviously. There's a few things there that recipe doesn't look so bad.
Yeah, it's a different way of looking at it, because I mean, the last couple of years it's been, we've got to final or semi final, we've lost, and everybody can maybe come back again. Mm. Whereas that kind of narrative is gone. We've finally been beaten early, and because everybody's been waiting for that to happen for a long time. So,
and it was bound to happen eventually.
Yeah, it was going to happen sometime. And we flirted with it often enough as well. But yeah, like this time it's a fresh slate, and you can be sure there's going to be new bodies around, and it's a different kind of view on it. Like, we're down the pecking order in terms of kind of titles now, and we're down the pecking order in terms of people looking at us as All-Ireland champions, so it's a different way of looking at it.
And would you accept the general narrative out there, and it's one I'd probably share, so there's no point saying other people have said, I'll be honest, I sort of think it as well, that, you know, say from when Horan came in and you really started doing things and you were thrashing teams early in the championship and making your way to finals, and gradually, I suppose, as the teams got a bit older, more miles on the clock, decline might be a strong word, but let's use it for the purpose of the question. You stopped trashing teams early on, and then last year, you know, it's like hanging on by your fingernails territory. Now, when you get to the marquee game against Dublin, you can lift it for that one game, but almost there's been a really high level set, and then you struggled to maintain that as much throughout a year. Now, you can still raise it for the big game, but that's been the sense from afar, that you've kind of steadily gone down for a good chunk of the championship. I don't know, is that something you feel, agree with,
have an analysis of? Yeah, I agree. But like, if you look at some of the games, I think it's more a mentality thing that we have, and it's something we've struggled with. Because when we've been put under the cosh in some of those games, that level you're talking about, we've been able to display it. Like, you know, if we look at some of the games we're really struggling, like Cork had us on the rack, even we were comfortable for a long stretch of that game, but when we needed to, we stepped up.
Derry.
You know, yeah, Derry, the same. Like, we were out dead and buried, and then all of a sudden, next time, we blew them away.
Yeah.
You know, Kerry, even in the Kerry game, like, you know, we should have won the game the first day pretty comfortably, and then second day we raised the level again. So it's more the fact that, I don't know, is it a consistency, or I think it's within us. We need to start getting it out of ourselves a bit more, and I think a lot of people, and we probably let this feed in a bit, is that thing you just talked about is like, oh, we can raise that big game when we get to Dublin. But like, there's so many hurdles to get over. Like, and it's, you look at Dublin, people see them winning by whatever, 15 points. It's not easy to win by 15 points. You know, it's hard. They got to go and put hard work every time they do that.
Makes the last 20 minutes a bit easier.
Yeah, it does. But like, you know, it's, you know, they're not coming off the pitch, you know, like as if they were on a Sunday stroll.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd like to get back to that position, but at this moment in time, you know, we are a little bit back off the pecking order, so we need to get more consistency into our game, and we need to start putting more scores on the board.
Yeah, you must have been scratching your head a little bit. Like, how is it that we're able to match Dublin's level and then we almost descend to whatever level of team we're playing against? What are we doing here?
Yeah, it's a million-dollar question, isn't it? You know, I don't know, is it just we raise it for the occasion, the chance, the opportunity against Dublin, and the wanting it so badly at that stage, it doesn't really make sense to us. But it's purely down to, like, we're really, really on it when we're playing against Dublin. We know the consequences are severe. If you misplace a hand pass or you kick the ball straight to Keane O'Sullivan's sweeper, it could be a goal just like that. Whereas that kind of threat probably isn't there when you're playing somebody else. And it's no disrespect to anybody else, but and then you start to kind of get into kind of a malaise of that throughout the game. And all of a sudden now, oh shit, we're in trouble, you know, so.
Fear can be a good thing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Fear of making a mistake against Dublin is a lot higher.
Yeah. I presume when you get the news that James Horan's coming back, you're delighted.
Yeah, well, it was, once I seen his name going in, I was happy to see his name go in for the job.
So what does he bring to it? He came in, I think, in your second year in 10.
Third year, John O for the first 2 years, and then after we lost Longford, he came in.
Yeah,
he's cutthroat. Like we got a right shock, like when he came in the first time. Just, you know, we were all kind of coasting along, and then all of a sudden, everybody kind of opened their eyes. Like, whoa, this is the expectation, and it took a little bit of getting used to.
He's demanding,
and he expects excellence, like in everything we do. The standards never to slip, and if there are, they're called out. And he's like, he comes from, I suppose, a multinational background. That's kind of process-driven, orientated kind of environment, and
he's never struck me as a man with a temper in the years we've been talking to him, but obviously it's a different environment to...
He's firm, like, he's firm. It's not that he gets mad, but he, you know, when he's there's been times where he'll call a session and just stop it and be like, go ballistic. But no, he's very good, very professional, and he'll the environment around the place is going to be top notch when because that's what he seeks and provides for the group.
Yeah, because I mean, he really turned, if nothing else, and there was more, but he really turned Mayo into an unbelievably physical team, like one of the few teams who could match the Dubs physically. And it seemed he really kick-started that process in a big way. Not to be unfair to anyone who came before him, but it seemed to go up a notch with him.
Yeah, I think in fairness, he probably recognised the raw material that was there, and he built what he wanted around the player group that he seen, and he was smart with that, you know. But yeah, we were miles behind in terms of the physical work at the time, and most teams are catching up in terms of that now, but we were way off it. But we had some of the natural athletes we had within our squad lended itself to play the kind of football we played under him.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny, when he came in first, people are like, oh, you must be glad he's coming back. I said, well, I am, yeah, but I mean, I said, when he came in the first time, I said, he got rid of the likes of Aidan Coyne, Tom Parsons, Barry Moore, and Mark Ronson, who were all big names at the time. And I'm going, I'm kind of around the same age as him now, them guys. So I'm kind of so that's the kind of, he puts a little bit of fear into it. And
fear is a good thing, you know.
Yeah, it's the same team,
you're going to work hard.
So, yeah, and I know there's going to be changes under him. It's the way he operates, and just looking forward to what comes.
Was he somebody you talked to much in the intervening years when he was away from the setup?
No, not that people would probably believe me, but...
I assume you're thick as thieves.
Yeah, we're supposed to be in contact all the time. No, I hadn't talked to James. I'd say I've talked to James probably a handful of times since, and more so meeting him at kind of functions and stuff like that in Mayo in particular. I think I might have met him for a coffee once in the intervening years, but I get on well with him. We wouldn't be meeting up all the time. He lives in Braithwaite, but he's kind of a very private individual in his own life and very busy as well. So it's not something that he'd be linking up with me.
What kind of talent is coming through? That's the other big question hanging over Mayo.
Yeah, I think there's always players there. I think there's players that are probably. Are kind of somewhat known that are not we're not getting that haven't kind of shown what they've got yet, and there's players coming through, no doubt about that. I mean, James has been involved in Westport have a conveyor belt of players coming through. We play them in the quarter final of the championship. They're very, very good. We had the 20s. That 20 squad is quite a young squad. They were relying more on 17, 18 year olds than 20 year olds, if that makes sense. So there has to be a little bit of patience, but there definitely is players out there in Mayo. We've got James, as you always said, there always is players. You just need to work with them and get them through, and provide them with the tools to operate at the top level. So I wouldn't be concerned in terms of players coming through. I think there's absolutely enough talent, and I think he'll unveil that in the coming year.
Do you sense everyone's uber hungry? I'm looking in from afar, and we've talked about maybe this summer will be beneficial. Look, as I ask this question, it's stupid because you're not going to say, no, we're done, we're finished. But a part of me wondered if the team's a bit beaten down or if the team is actually ravenous and itching to get back.
Well, it's an intangible. I can't say we are or we aren't. We'll only know. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the squad, and there is no squad, but anybody who's in the squad from last year thinking, we're going to go back and it's just going to get back to an Ireland final.
Yeah.
I think if we're being realistic, there has been a kind of a decline in our performance levels, and are we going to be competing for All-Ireland titles straight away in 2019? Maybe not, but maybe we need to reinvent ourselves a little bit. Maybe we need to just take a step back and introduce a few guys and just develop ourselves a little bit more, because what we've been doing hasn't been working. So but I still think there's the ability to compete at a high level, but it's that getting that mix right, and we don't want to fall off the edge of a cliff in a year's time when a couple of guys maybe pull away.
Retire, yeah, no, that's a fair point. I was just looking, I think you made your debut in 09 against New York.
Yeah.
So you're into year 10. Room, where did that
year
go?
Year 11, 10 years. You're onto year 11.
2019 we're going into.
Oh yeah, so it's there, but it's my 11th season, is it?
We'll call it 10, 11 years.
Yeah, okay, yeah, whatever.
To avoid live maths on the air. Yeah. So that's it by 10, 11 years is a really good innings for an inter-county career now.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Tony Brown was 39, was he not?
if you're going to use exceptions, then there will be some. I'm talking in general terms. So say it for some horrible, unforeseen reason it ended, and that was your lot. That was your 10, 11 years, which some lads don't even get. How would you look back on it? How would you reflect on it? Would it haunt you that you never got an All-Ireland, or would you take a huge amount of joy and satisfaction from it for the rest of your life?
You can't let it haunt you. I mean, like, look, you know, earlier in my career, I would have just said, yeah, it's all about winning All-Ireland, and you're young and you're... But you see what you put into it and what joy you've got out of it, but family, friends, you know, what we've done for County of Mayo, and, you know, people outside of Mayo don't see it, but, like, I live it every day, and it's, you know, it's quite a refreshing kind of... It's nerve-tingling when you walk around and you see the kind of... what you do for people in their day-to-day lives. And I think...
No team is probably as loved by their own fans as this Mayo group.
You know, they've been... You can feel the kind of disappointment, like, for the whole winter and the whole summer that we've been out. Mm. People are like, what do we do for our weekends? But yeah. I think overall, like, for me, like, I think that, you know, I'm not going to... If I'm not there when we win North Ireland, you know, I'm not going to haunt myself over it. You know, you've got to be kind of secure in yourself that, you know, I'm doing everything I can to try and improve and try and help the team as much as I can every time. And, like, it's cliche, but, like, when you get to this stage, like, when I came on the scene, I was like, yeah, I got to win on Ireland, I got to win on Ireland. And then you start realising you lose by a point, you lose another one by a point, you go to replay, and, you know, you're kind of like, you know, you can't judge yourself by the minute details of a score or two here and there to define your career. And I don't think it's going to define the group either. I think we're still in a good place. The group, you know, we're not going to lose a lot of players, hopefully, might lose a few, but I do think there's a group underneath, me and Leroy, Killian, that can drag this team to a level again, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I've got hopefully a couple of years left, if James will have me, and I think that group I can be on the other end, like, of, say, Andy, maybe, when James came in the first time.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned work there, and the kind of curious thing about you're taking a bit longer to finish tasks at work when you don't have the discipline or the pressure to get out for training. Is work a big, massive part of your life, or is it just a means to being able to play GA? Like, are you very ambitious outside of your football? I don't actually even know what you do.
I'm a senior planning and distribution exports manager in Allergan Pharmaceuticals.
Right.
Yeah. So no, it's a big part of my life. I don't think you'll talk to too many footballers. Well, certainly in Mayo, all the guys are very progressive in their careers and want to be. And I think they lend themselves one to the other. I think, you know, if you're progressive off it, you're going to be progressive on it. I've been in Allergan 5 years, and I've gone up through the organisation pretty quickly, and I've been quite happy with my progress. But yeah, work is important to me, because, you know, it's one of the main things in your life, and
I want to
do well in my career, whether that's going to be in the pharmaceutical industry and in Allergan for the rest of my life. You know, I'm not going to say for certain, but I'm also very proud of the fact that Allergan is based in Westport, and we've 1,400 people working there, and it's a big part of the big part of Mayo. So no, certainly not something that I just tick the box for in terms of football, but when it does come to football, Allergan have been very good to me, and with time off.
Yeah, it's important. And so what's your average day? Office based kind of job?
Office based, yeah. So I've 14 people reporting to me, 8 to 4:30. Never really finished at 4:30, but the phone is always on, I suppose, that way when you've trying to get product out the door, but it's can be quite hectic. There's always something different every day in this job, so I really enjoy it, but there's always loads of issues.
Yeah, you were in DCU, weren't you?
DIT.
DIT, sorry,
right,
excuse
over the road.
Me. DIT, so, and what did you study there to get?
Logistics and supply chain management.
Okay.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah, I mean, geez, your titles aren't easy.
No.
I can't even remember what your job is.
Yeah, I'll write it down for next time.
Who did you vote for Footballer of the Year?
I haven't voted, actually. I've seen the text come through today.
Okay.
Who's our nominees? Kieran Kenny.
McCaffrey
and Fenton.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. I'd probably lend myself towards probably Fenton or McCaffrey. I thought McCaffrey was outstanding in the final. I thought he was brilliant.
And he's man of the match in the semi-final.
Yeah, he's man of the match in the semi-final. I just thought in the final, he just gave them serious, like, even early on when Trone were playing well, that score where, that run where Cluxton picked him out on the 45, he just burnt him up the line and got a score of it. It was brilliant. Mm. But it's hard pick between the three of them, but there'll be a Dublin winner this year anyway.
Yeah, that's for sure. And for McCaffrey to come back from cruciate, I mean, and to be as fast as ever and agile as ever. I mean, you figured he'd be able to sprint in a straight line as fast, but he's still turning at a right angle like nobody's business.
Yeah. It's a pretty amazing recovery from, like, the All-Ireland final was later last year to this cruciate, and to come back and play a significant part in the year, it's kind of unheard of, really. Like, you look at, like, obviously Byrne did at the start of the year, We've seen other sports. It's not, it's not something that happens too often, so fair play to them.
And have you spent much time in Fenton's circle? I can't quite remember where you were for a lot of those games.
No, not really. It's more usually Shamey, but yeah, he's a very good player. He's very, he gets up and down the field, he's smart on the football, he can score off left or right. He's a good player.
Yeah. So it sounds like just McCaffrey, but if Fenton gets on the phone to you, there's time to sway.
No, yeah, probably McCaffrey or Fenton. I'll have a think about it and we'll see.
One other question I was kind of wondering, so over the 10 years, I mean, you're here and you're this Heinz Sports Club initiative and people can get involved at heinz.ie/teams for sports equipment and jerseys and various things, which is a great initiative. Not specifically to talk to you about beans, but your attitude to diet and alcohol over the last 10 years, is that dramatically different?
Heinz beans have just been perfect for me.
Is that all you eat? Okay.
Yeah, no. Well, I've never been like a... alcohol has never been a big, you know, a drink, but it's not something that I'm dying for a drink or anything like that. Okay. It's never been something that's been huge in my life.
Right.
I can take it or leave it. And food, yeah, look, you live and learn as you grow. For me, I've been on this show before talking about it, like when I was younger, my metabolism slowed down kind of nearly overnight and I just didn't really think about it, or everything was fine. I could eat what I wanted, I could train, I could play well, and it was just something that never really I had to think about. And then obviously I had to think about it. I came to college here in Dublin and left home for the first time, and I just didn't, probably didn't plan my days out as well, and I wasn't as disciplined as
to be fair.
I was, but it was just something that, it was a learning curve and I had to learn pretty quickly or else I wouldn't be playing football too often. So
and so where are you now? Are you like a carb-free machine or are you still...
No, I'm not. Like I'm not somebody who sits down and says I'm one or the other or I'm at this diet plan. No, like, to be honest with you, I'm one of those people in moderation. Like, don't get me wrong, I'll have my treats and everything like that, but I'll train hard and I'll fuel my body in the right way and take the right advice from our dietitians and stuff like that. But I'm absolutely not just a teetotaler in one way of some certain foods or not. But I have a funny old diet because I don't eat any fruit.
Why?
Just never eating them. I'm like kind of get squeamish about them. So don't eat them. Vegetables have got a bit better over the last 5 or 6 years, but like big meat eater, like so.
The caveman diet's
kind of true. It's, everything just in a bit of moderation, you're fine.
Before you go, one of the great moments of the year, I mean, you knew this was going to come up. Let's have a look at Gareth Brooks loving Aidan O'Shea. Oh.
Where's this from?
Ireland.
This from Ireland? Oh, I love this guy right here. Oh, they did the key change.
Yeah.
Nice. They lost the band, I'm afraid, though.
They're coming.
Oh, you hear the bagpipes.
It's not Aloysius and West Coast.
Oh, here they come.
It's worth the trip.
Wait for it.
Yes! Okay, you gotta tell me, where is this?
That is the Mayo Gaelic football team from Ireland.
Oh, Gaelic football. Yes. Ireland, that's sweet. Just got to do with a game, I imagine?
Yeah, that's awesome. That star there, his name is Aidan.
Aidan? Aidan. Dude, you need to be singing for a living. That's great. I love it.
Aidan, you got to be singing for a living.
Yeah,
who knew?
Yeah,
what a voice of an angel.
I don't think so.
Could have been in Westlife, man.
I think the reunion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
bring Brian back.
So you like a bit of a sing song then?
The funny thing is, James Durkin actually gigs and sings a bit.
All right.
So he was actually doing most of the singing. And
it looked to me like you were doing most of the singing.
No, like I was doing most singing on that song, but for the most of the night, he was doing the singing, and I was kind of guilted into having to do a song.
So the river is your go-to?
It is my go-to. I need to change it up, but my mother laughs because she's like, Shamey sings and I sing and Connor raps, but she's never heard any of us do any of it, so
she
got to see
that.
It. But Gareth Brooks is kind of a throwback to family holidays.
And a little sign of how much fun that team have together. I mean, you guys are, it's a nice little crew you've got.
There is, for sure.
Listen, enjoy the rest of your time off. And our best luck in the county final.
Cheers.
When's that on?
Saturday week.
Saturday week.
Replay, Castlebar playing Ballintubber in a replay on Saturday, so we play the winner of that.
Brave you against Castlebar.
You'd nearly throw a stone into the three parishes from Brave.
Oh, really?
So it's it's a bit of fun because Adam Dillon, Barry Moran work with me in Westport, so we've got a bit of banter going on at the moment.
Okay, great. Well, the best of luck in that, and then season ahead under James Horne. Exciting times as ever with Mayo. There will be drama inevitably, but thanks a million for coming in. Cheers.
Brilliant. Thanks, Joe. Cheers.
GAA on Off the Ball. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.